It's nice to see everyone here today for June the 12th. Let us worship our God together. He has made the universe, he has made us, and he loves us just the way we are. Come, let us worship him. Some announcements this morning. Taya looks to be alive and well.
And she has all her hair.
So the Junior Youth had a great time over the weekend. Thanks to everyone who volunteered, and I hope all went well. The flowers in front of us are for Wilmer Peters' funeral. It was yesterday at 10 o'clock. And you stole my sheet. our deepest condolences to the Peters family and to his friends. He was 101 years old. And we offer God's peace and love to be with the family as they mourn his loss. Okay. A note to remind about the church picnic next week. It's at the Virgil Sports Park again. After the service, in the afternoon there will be games for everyone, should you choose to get involved. And if it's rainy, I'm assuming it's going to be here, but I'm sure that will come out. I'm assuming it's going to be gorgeous weather, so we don't have to worry about it. There was one other one. What is it? Hang on here. Nope, that's it. We'll pass it over to Renee.
All right. Good morning. The call to worship comes from Psalm 51, verse 1 to 4. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Shall we pray? Dear God, thank you for being an amazing Father who looks after all his children individually. We each are special in your eyes. You have granted us different talents and gifts. Today, we pray you will use our talents and gifts for your kingdom and glory. Let everything we do bring glory to your mighty name. It's not our wisdom or understanding, but the power of God working in us. The power of God descends upon us through your Son, Jesus. The strength of Jesus brings our life to victory, and your name will be glorified through each of us. Today, we agree in one accord that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of our lives, and we are blessed exceedingly and abundantly in him. Lord, we also declare that we can do all things through his mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Now, at this time, I'd like to ask our youth group to prepare us for worship through song. And thank you for sharing your wonderful gifts and talents with us this morning.
Good morning. I'd like to invite you to stand with us, our first song, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Oh God, my without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
Morning. Today I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
Save. Worthy. ever breathe, we live for you.
I will build my life upon your love. How's it doing? How's it going up there, sound guys? Do you need to check something before we have the sermon? We're good to go? I will build my life upon your love. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for leading us in those worshipful songs this morning, as we do recognize Trinity Sunday. In a few moments, Pastor Randy will be coming and preaching from the Scriptures, and we pray God's Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, would anoint his heart, his mind, as he speaks to us from the Word of the Lord, from Ephesians chapter 4. As I was reading the Scripture this morning, I was reminded of the wonderful words that the Apostle Paul writes to the church, how we are to build our life upon God's love. And then Paul continues and he says, all of us have been given grace as Christ apportioned it. So let's be attentive this morning, as Pastor Randy would preach this morning, that the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has apportioned it to each one of us, would recognize and our hearts and our minds would be rekindled. Following our pastoral prayer that I will lead, we will conclude with our Lord's Prayer. So please join with me in your heart as we pray together. Let us pray. Holy God, Triune God, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as there is this blessed knowledge of the Trinity, within your church, this day, as a congregation, we affirm the Trinity. And we affirm that you would seek to build our lives and this church community according to the grace of God that has been apportioned to each one of us. To one has been given the gift of serving. To another has been given the gift of speaking, the gift of helps, the gift of administration. And how we thank you, God, that you have apportioned within even this local assembly of believers the administration of these various gifts for the well-being, for the building up, for the encouragement of the saints in this place. And we pray this day that not only as we have heard the scriptures being read, as we have sang some of the great truths that we believe, that you would also anoint our brother, Pastor Randy, as he would come and preach. We thank you for those who serve in the administration of this congregation, who are seeking to discern the will of the Lord for us, for church council, for the deacons who serve amongst us, who care and share and visit, for the pastoral search committee, for those who serve in the spiritual formation of children, youth, and adults. We pray for our youth worker, Taya, as she ministers and serves with the sponsors and with those who have been appointed with her to serve amongst our children and our youth. For the vacation Bible camp that will be taking place, that the administration of that and the servers and the leaders would be found to take their rightful place in this role. Thank you, God, that we have been given this opportunity to meet as a congregation. And each week, as is our custom, we would set aside our tithe and, yes, the love offerings that we have prepared and brought to this place and placed in the baskets. May even this simple act be an act of worship from individuals and families as they seek to honor you with the first fruits. For all that we have is given to us by you. And we thank you for what you have entrusted to us. And as a congregation, as we seek to share one with another, we also remember to pray for those, the families who would be grieving. Not only do we pray for the Peters family, but we pray for those unspoken, perhaps unknown to the rest of us, those who might be grieving in this congregation in a variety of ways. For those who are dealing with health situations, we hold them in our prayers. Both those that are named for us, that we would regularly bring them before your throne of mercy, for Peter, for Ike, for Herb, and for the many unspoken but very real prayer requests. Oh God, you know the groanings of our hearts. You know the burdens that we carry for physical, for mental, for emotional issues. O God, that as you would apportion grace to each of us, that we would realize that you meet all our needs through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We continue to pray, God, for those outside of our faith community, for the troubled spots around the world, and for those who are messengers of mercy and comfort and caregiving, for those who serve in the Peace Corps around the world. We thank you, God, for those politicians who are seeking to do what is right. Grant to us, God, peace in our day. We thank you, God, as well, for the many ways in which you minister to us. And in that regards, we do pray the prayer of our Lord Jesus, as he taught his disciples to pray. Let us together pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. It seems to be that time of year, once again, when we pack up a few belongings and head out for a weekend at the cottage, or perhaps a longer vacation, camping up north, or even a cross-country trip. Seems to me every summer Renata and I pack our belongings and we hook up our little trailer to the car. Oh, and then someone runs back into the house to get that one item we just remembered we forgot. And then when we get back in the car again, we look at each other and one of us says, "Do we have everything we need?" The other replies, "Well, what we don't have, we don't need, or else we'll make do without. Let's go." The car is put in gear. We drive off down the road, and it's not very long until someone sings, "Back on the road again," and off we go. Life is like that. We plan, we pack, and then we finally get going. Do you have what you need? For the journey. Do we as a church have what we need for our journey? Do we have what we need to be what God has called us to be? What we don't have, we likely don't need, or else we'll make do without. Last Sunday was the celebration of Pentecost, the coming of God's Holy Spirit, the Counselor, promised by Jesus to guide us in faith and life. With recognition of that special day in the life of the church, celebrating God's gift of the Spirit coming upon believers in Jesus, we shared the communion service, and an opportunity to renew our vows of baptism upon confession of faith. You may recall some time ago I started a sermon series doing some reflecting on the book by Robert Suderman, The Baby and the Bathwater. And there Robert says, "The church is a community of hope. Community and communion share the same root word in the English, and that's also true in the Greek of the New Testament. The Greek word is koinonia, remember years ago in Bible school being introduced to that word, koinonia. A remarkable, versatile word that carries meanings of sharing, of partnership, giving and receiving, solidarity and participation with each other. It's also the word that grounds our understanding in the Lord's Supper, the communion. That's why we as a church connect believers' baptism and belonging to the church through membership, as together we commit ourselves to sharing, a partnership of sorts, of giving and receiving, a sense of solidarity as community as we participate life with each other. And so our Bible reading for today, Ephesians 4, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "As a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." Live a life worthy of the calling you've received. If we are to live a life, one that's worthy, as Apostle Paul challenges us, then we need to understand the calling that we have received. Writing to the Christians at Ephesus, the Apostle Paul is concerned. He has a sense that there has been a disconnect in the community of faith between their knowledge of God and their living for God. In some sense, it's the academic and the practical. Paul's pastoral concern for the church is for them to grow in an organic unity of belief and behavior. For some of the church, they had separated their belief in God of all creation from their calling to behave and live as children of God. An observation of recent, it's like the odd disconnect that I sense today of some Christians, sorry for the United States, who are fiercely against abortion rights, while equally adamant to protect the right to carry firearms, which are solely and only intended to kill. Protect life and be ready and willing to kill. You don't carry semi-automatic weapons because you're deer hunting. It's not the way I understand deer hunting and practiced years back. Saving life on the one hand and ready and willing to take a life on the other. Somehow there's a disconnect there for me. So what's the calling? Getting back to our scriptures. What's the calling the Apostle Paul says that we have received? Remember Pentecost? God sent his Spirit upon us. And so he says in verse 2 and 3, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." From heaven to earth, Paul brings together every aspect of our lives and points us to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Jesus is the only one who commands us to demonstrate our love for God by loving our neighbors as ourselves. This is our calling to follow. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. In all the twisted and bent backward notions of living our lives, Paul is passionate about having believers align their lives with Jesus, knitting together belief and behavior. Some would call it integrity. Now, I know it's been a while because It was back in January when I began this short series introducing Robert Suderman's. I've always known him as Jack. That's his other, Robert J. Suderman. Always known him as Jack. Anyway, Robert Suderman's book, Baby in the Bathwater, the subtitle, Aspirations and Reality. in the life of the church. Reflecting on Jesus announcing good news, referring to the kingdom as the fulfillment of God's timing. To people oppressed and downtrodden, Jesus announces the world does not need to remain the way it is. God's intent, God's kingdom coming, is the work of restoring people, us, others around us. With God's rule of worship, discipleship to Jesus, guidance in restoring relationships, reconciling, and all of that is covered with the commitment that is most challenging of all, the commitment to love one's enemies. Quite a calling. It seems few are willing to accept. Then after some delay, it was in April, Paul, we've had some shifts in our preaching schedules and things, and life somehow unfolds differently than we expected. But it was in April, my message, so what's the plan? The plan is Jesus invites us to journey through this life by planting seeds of hope and forgiveness that lead to life. God's strategy through Jesus Christ is to get us and the world back on the intended track, where relationships are reconciled with acts of kindness, shared, and thereby lives are transformed. How many times have I heard someone say, oh, that person, they're never going to change. There's got to be a prayer behind that statement. It's the one thing to believe that Jesus died for your sins, have the cross. It's one thing to believe that Jesus died for your sins, and another to equally take the step in Christian life to behave with a trust that Jesus as Lord is going to guide us in the commitments of love for all God's people. The cross was not just for me. As a church, if we stake our claim to be a corner of God's kingdom, and if we follow the plan that God has for the church, then I would bank on it that God has already supplied us with what we need to be the church. I invite you to take a look. The pews, there are Bibles scattered around, but we need to look at Ephesians in a fuller context. Sorry, I forgot to look up the page number that it is in the Pew Bible there. The Apostle Paul is calling upon us. I urge you. He's not suggesting. I urge you, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. And from what does Paul speak of this urgency? And so we look back a little bit. There's always a context. Notice the latter part of chapter 3. It's Paul's famous prayer for the Christians at Ephesus. And the prayer is for Christians to be strengthened with power of the Spirit. It's the coming of Christ, the coming of the Holy Spirit with Pentecost, right? Strengthened with the power of the Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul prays for us to be rooted and established in love, to have power together with all Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep. You get that sense of it's all-encompassing, the love of Christ. That's a powerful prayer. We know one of the hallmarks of Christian life is prayer, that profound act of conversation with God. And prayer as central activity to Christian life, it's the spiritual practice that ranks right up there in importance with reading the Bible and belonging and sharing with the Christian community in worship and in service. And so if prayer is central to the Christian life, what follows after prayer? What do we do after we pray? Paul prays for God to do immeasurably more. Notice how he keeps heaping things up here. Do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine in the church and in Christ Jesus. A lot of hyperbole, but Paul gets his point across. It's a great prayer, and it's often used at the conclusion of worship services. But this prayer doesn't conclude the letter to the Ephesians. It's not the end of his letter. What comes after the prayer? What comes after your prayers? Morning prayers, then I get up and go into the day. Evening prayers, I lay down to rest. Meal prayers, then I eat. Paul's prayer is followed in verse 1 of chapter 4, which becomes a launching pad of sorts, an announcement that propels us to live out that prayer conversation that we have shared with God. Back on the road again. Let's get going. It's the connection between belief and behavior. Often it seems prayer is believing that we have the authority to tell God what God should be doing to make the wrongs of this world right again. Meanwhile, on the other side of that prayer conversation, I sometimes sense God saying to us, when are you going to get on with it? The calling that you have received through Jesus? Get going. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. As I was meditating, preparing this, I thought of the story once again, and I've probably told this to you before, but to me it merits repeating. 1929, long time ago, I know. But a group of Mennonites, maybe some of the relatives of yours, for several years, they had been attempting to leave Ukraine, Russia. After the communists had seized their property, the immigrants had paid what little they had left for their exit out of the country, hopeful to go to Germany and then on to Canada. And finally, they were on board the train, leaving. Train. Cattle cars, really. They were heading west, and in the distance, the approaching gate, the Red Gate, it was the border between Russia and Latvia. And yet the train stopped short of the crossing. They could see it. It's right there. Maybe if we put our shoulders to the train, we can just push that train further, get it across that border. Already several times the train had stopped previously to allow guards to check documents, very important. Guards, they also check for whatever valuables they could squeeze out of the immigrants. These poor travelers feared they would never escape. Passengers climbed down from the train because they weren't going anywhere. Get some fresh air, stretch their legs a bit, and minutes passed on, and yet no sign of anything moving. But they could see the border was right there, the gate. Then after a few despondent travelers gathered together, they began to pray. The circle grew larger as desperate prayers for freedom were lifted to God. And what after seemed like a long time, an elderly man broke free of the circle. He climbed back on the train. What are you doing? The man simply said, we've prayed. Now we have to believe that God will answer our prayers. A few others joined him. And in a short time, that train began to inch forward. Others scrambled to get on board as the train pulled ahead and took the weary travelers across the border and on to freedom. inspired by that story of the old Russian immigrant. I have my own story of believing in prayer and behaving with trust for God to guide. Photo on the screen describes the situation that I found myself in as a young adult, backpacking in the mountains of British Columbia. Unfortunately, I couldn't find that photo, but I found this one. This happens to be in Switzerland, but it describes the exact same type of scene that I had many years earlier. That's a story for another time. But you get my sense, my passionate connection between belief and behavior. For our calling to be worthy of being a Christian community, our trust in living out our calling from God to be the body of Christ, the communion and the community, the koinonia of God in North St. Catharines. Looking further at chapter 4 of Ephesians, there's a better known passage listing the spiritual gifts that God has entrusted to the church, us, so that we will be strengthened in our life together of being and sharing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We have what we need. Prayerfully planned, prayerfully packed, prayerfully moving forward. While we grow in our trust of God, the real crunch comes when we are called upon to trust each other. And that's why Jesus calls us to love one another, to be caring, considerate, respectful, and kind to one another. God has called us to be the church, and just one of several churches in North St. Catharines, but joining together with others to follow Jesus in living life to the full, sharing in our worship, in our places of work, our families, and in our service to the community, in the name of Christ. Our calling is to support and encourage the spiritual gifts among us to meet the challenges of our day. And there are challenges we face. Responding to anger and violence with a voice of peace. Sorry, here's a sideline. I don't know if you've heard the news, but we know about these mass shootings that happen all over the place and lives torn apart. Early this morning, that happens here in St. Catharines. There are people right now fighting for their lives after being shot last night. Check the news later. One person is deceased. That's here, not elsewhere. That's us. Will we be a voice of peace? We also need to be responding to those who've been hit hard by inflation, struggling to feed their families. This last week when I was at the office, the phone rang. Of course, answer it. St. Catharines United Mennonite Church. Pastor Randy, how can I help you? Do you hand out food? Well, first thing I thought of is, well, we channel food donations through community care. Unfortunately, that person simply said thank you and hung up. I wished I could have continued the call, because it was somebody locally here in our community in need, which is why we put donations in the barrel and we call community care every once in a while to pick up what's there so that it can be distributed. We also need to be responding to those who are victims of scammers. That's a big one these days. Not only scammers, but deceivers. You know the news. And the list goes on. We are called to be people of faith who've received God's gift of salvation. And it isn't for us. It's God's work for us to be part of the kingdom of God, sharing in the lives of others with compassion and love. And again, the most difficult of all, to be loving towards those who don't love us back. often it's described as the enemy. We don't necessarily think of other people as enemies, but there are those that we don't exactly get along with. Those are the hardest to love. And that's for us as a community of faith to wrestle with. May God grant us the courage to rely upon God, to equip and to guide us and direct us for the road ahead. There is a future. And God's calling for us to be faithful in sharing grace with one another. We have everything we need. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the life of the church. And for some, our journey has been with each other, even from birth. We've known each other. For others, there are newcomers among us for whom this experience of community is something different. And there's something attractive, a strength and solidarity with that. In the midst of that, we seek to be belonging to you, our gracious God, as we belong to one another. Meet our needs. Work in us and through us by the power of your Holy Spirit for these days and the days to come. We thank you for what Jesus has done and will do as we continue to dedicate our lives to him. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Andy, for that challenging and inspiring message. I'd invite you all to stand for our closing song, Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed be your name.
Thank you very much to the worship band for leading us this morning, for others involved in the service. Thank you to the folks upstairs who keep things going for us. As you prepare to leave from this time of worship, may the Lord grace you with the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.